to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly," someone say exceedingly, "abundantly," say abundantly, "above," say above, "all that we could ask or think, according to the power," shout power, "according to the power that work in us." Last week I gave a prophetic word over 2021, and it's a three-part prophetic word over this house. Now, a prophetic word is not a guarantee. A prophetic word is an invitation for you to partner with the perfect will of God. So if this is a prophetic word over this house, it means that if you're a member of this church, if you're a part of this community, it's a prophetic word over your house. So what you have to do is you have to partner in faith with the word. A lot of people run around looking for prophetic words instead of stewarding prophetic words. And if you would steward the past prophetic word, it would come to pass rather than looking for a new prophetic word just to happen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to steward it. So the Lord spoke to us in May that 2021 was going to be a year of the supernatural. I saw three things that happened with this. One, it was going to be the year of the supernatural. I taught on that last week. If you didn't hear the message, you can get on the YouTube or podcast. The second is going to be a year of supernatural personal growth. And the third part is Mercy Culture Church will supernaturally grow. So what does it mean to be supernatural? What it means to be supernatural is beyond your ability. It means that it is so big, it scares you. Listen, you being afraid of it or nervous about it is an indication you've stepped out of the natural and you're leaning into the supernatural. I'm telling you what, this word, our church is a church of faith, and we're an apostolic prophetic church. And when we release this prophetic word, I already felt it in the atmosphere this week. We are sitting in the middle of executive staff meeting, and Pastor Abe starts talking crazy. He starts talking about buying buildings downtown. He starts talking about buying land. He starts, all of a sudden, I felt faith come into the room. All of a sudden, I was nervous because my mind thought, how is this gonna happen? This is impossible. Listen, the supernatural should scare you. Do you know why? Because you don't have the ability to do it. You can't accomplish it. You're not smart enough. You don't have the resources. You don't have the ability. You don't have the manpower. Watch, it must take God. I felt it creep in, and I know our staff meeting is not the only place that the supernatural has crept in. Watch, it starts invading your thoughts. It starts interrupting your daydreams. It starts messing with you on a regular basis. Watch, when you start entertaining the supernatural, watch, it starts manifesting itself in your life. Supernatural is already beginning to take place. This morning, I'm going to touch on the second part of this prophetic word. Supernatural growth. Turn to your neighbor and say, take a good look, because you're not going to recognize me a year from now. This is very important. Listen, when I heard this word, I saw it in three parts. Now, if you believe God for the supernatural to be done, for the plans of heaven to be established in the earth this year, then you also must partner in faith with the second part of this word. And it's this, that to the same degree that we're believing God for the impossible beyond our ability to happen in our lives this year, we're believing that same level of faith for us to personally grow this year. I'm talking growing past you ever thought you would. I'm talking a level of spiritual maturity that you didn't think you had. I'm telling you, God is going to do something this year so significant, you are not going to believe what you look like spiritually a year from now. So let me give you some practical advice this morning. Nothing will grow you faster spiritually than regularly praying in the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues. It's not opinion, it's scripture, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy of faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is the language of heaven. It is the language of the supernatural. I wonder if we just spoke in a heavenly language before Babel came and interrupted our language, where we communed unfiltered with God. Speaking in tongues will grow you faster than anything else you can do. It's supernatural. I was talking with Sid Roth. He said, how much do you speak in tongues? I laughed out loud. I said, we speak in tongues a lot. He's like, how much? I'm like, a lot. He said, it's the language of the supernatural. Speaking in tongues is when Jesus partners with you in perfect prayer and begins to make intercession with you. Here's the next thing. Watch. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will interrupt your thoughts and give you God thoughts. Now remember, Ephesians 3:20 says exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine or what? Think. Listen, when you're engaged in the supernatural, you don't have to come up with things. Things come down to you. It's divine downloads that God brings to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. It's a year of the supernatural. I'm trying to do my best to properly articulate what I feel. And what I mean by this is it's going to scare you what you become a year from now. It's going to shock you. Your marriage, you might just end up falling in love with each other all over. That's how much you become new people. There's going to be such a significant growth. I heard in my spirit this week that you're going to have freedom like you've never known and that you never thought you can have. I heard in my spirit when I was in my office praying for you that this is the year that fear leaves once and for all. I heard this. I heard the Lord say that this was a year that you would stop believing the lies of the enemy. He actually said it like this, that you would outgrow the enemy's lies. Here's what I sense in my spirit, that the enemy's been telling you the same lie since you were a child. Watch, and it's worked since you've been a child. So he hasn't had to come up with a new lie because you've partnered with the old one. This is a year that that lie is going to be exposed. It's going to be revealed. God's going to heal you, and you're going to outgrow every lie of the enemy. I heard the Lord say that this was going to be a year of supernatural personal healing from what you haven't been able to heal from, what you didn't think you could heal from. You're going to heal at a level where you're not even going to recognize you, or you will talk about your past like it was a different person. I just heard in my spirit right now, this will be a year that you will outgrow shame. And the enemy has kept you in neutral because you've operated in shame instead of the identity of the blood of Jesus as a son and daughter of Christ. This is a year, hear this, of supernatural forgiving. And here's how you'll know if this word is for you, because you've said, I can't forgive them for that. And God is going to empower you where you're going to have burdens for people. That you once said, I feel the Holy Ghost. I love a prophetic house. Here, you're going to have prophetic words for people that you've said you can't forgive. And you won't be able to shake it until you obey and release it. And these aren't going to be your Sodom and Gomorrah destroying you, burns ashes, prophetic words. These are going to be the edifying, building up, good news, life words that God's going to have for you. Watch this. God is going to, you're going to forgive people to a degree where you start blessing them. There's going to be supernatural forgiveness. There's going to be supernatural deliverance. I heard this in my spirit. You're going to break strongholds. You're going to break addictions that you've had, bondages that you've had for years. I heard in my spirit that you're going to grow to such a degree, not only are you going to be completely delivered, but your family is going to be completely delivered because of the authority and the power and the supernatural spirituality that you walk in. Every stronghold is going to be broken in Jesus' name.
I heard it's going to be a year of supernatural obedience.
Where there's going to be quick obedience full of joy. Can I pass to you for a second? If the Lord gives you an assignment and he speaks to you and you respond, oh, I don't want to. It's a sign of spiritual immaturity. There's going to be such supernatural growth in you that you get excited with every single assignment of God, because you can't wait for the next opportunity to please the Father. You can't wait for the next opportunity to supernaturally grow. I say this all the time to young people I mentor. I say, do you want to grow fast or do you want to grow slow? And to this date, I haven't had one person tell me they want to grow slow. Do you know how you get grow faster? You get faster at obedience. This is going to be a year of quick obedience. I felt in my spirit that there's individuals in this place, in this community, that God has spoke to you weeks and months ago to do things, and you haven't obeyed yet, and you're in disobedience. This is a year where there's going to be supernatural obedience. Even in this message today, the Lord's going to prompt your hearts on things that he told you to do. And sometimes you just forgot. Listen, it doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're spiritually immature. But when the Holy Spirit begins to prompt you, listen, you have to obey. When Heather and I were early in our marriage, we're traveling all around the nation, preaching together, ministering together. And Heather had this desire for this signet ring. And she had been preaching on Esther and the authority that comes from heaven all over the nation as we traveled around together. And so we went to this coin store and we found a coin that was in circulation when Jesus walked the earth. And so we took this coin and we made it into a ring. And she called it her signet ring. And she would wear it every time she would go preach and minister. And one time we were at Shady Grove here in Dallas, and we were ministering. And Heather was prophesying over this girl and just going to town. And as she's prophesying over her, I hear in my spirit, she needs to give her signet ring to her. And I told the Lord, I'm not telling her that. I'm not going to tell her that. I'm a smart man. I said, God, I can't tell her to do that. This was next to her wedding ring, probably her most prized possession. And I said to the Lord, what do I say to her? And he said, ask her if there's something that she's supposed to give to her. So I just went up and whispered in her ear, and she got done ministering to her. I said, is there something you're supposed to give to her? And the moment I said it, she bent over, hunched over, grabbed her ring, and she goes, no, my ring. And tears started flowing down her face. She said, the Lord had been speaking to me to give the ring, and I was fighting it, because it meant so much to me. She pulled the ring off her finger, put it on the finger of the girl that she was ministering to. And we didn't know it at the time, but she had a ministry called the Esther's Call. See, we didn't realize, but in that one moment of obedience, it was the first fruit seed into a line of signet rings that would be on the fingers of daughters all over the nation as God was calling them to their place of authority and assignment. We had no idea of what it would give birth to and how it would be a part of the Justice Reformation and what we would see in our church in Fort Worth. We had no idea. Watch, it was just a moment of obedience. I was really pleased. I was at home last night. It was the only night of Psalm Assembly I didn't attend. I spent time by myself preparing to come minister this morning, but I had it on at home. And Evelyn got up and starts ministering. And one of the things that was kind of in my heart was a moment of generosity. And I was thinking about last year and what happened last year. And there was this spontaneous moment where I just said, hey, just give something away. What God tells you to give away. Just whatever God tells you to give away, give away. And people were going around the room and giving away stuff. And Evelyn had been praying that week for a car. She needed a car. And she'd been praying for a car. And someone came up at the church service and handed her keys. 2014 newer automobile. And answered her prayer. Well, then Evelyn gets up last night and starts sharing that testimony and encouraging people to do the same thing. I didn't tell her to do it. We didn't have a talk about it, but it was a unity that happened in the spirit, because when you begin to obey God, here's why, because when you go to give something, you never want to in the natural. You worked hard for it. You love it. It's your favorite. But something happens when you come in alignment with supernatural obedience. Church, supernatural growth always comes through God encounters. If it's obedience, if it's deliverance, if it's fear, if it's freedom, whatever it is, it always comes through God encounters. And one encounter with God changes everything. Changes everything. One encounter with God, Abraham's encounters God. God takes him outside and says, count the stars if you can. That's inheritance that I'm going to give you. One encounter with God, Moses meets God in a burning bush, but it won't be consumed, but it's an all-consuming fire. And from a conversation with a bush on fire, leads his people out of the wilderness, out of Egypt, into a promise. One encounter with God, a woman who's caught in the very act of adultery, encounters the mercy of God and becomes a revivalist back to her generation and back to her city. One encounter with God, a persecutor of Christians, Saul, becomes Paul the apostle. I feel in my spirit that we're going to see God encounters happen in this season, where persecutors of the church are going to become the greatest promoters of the kingdom of God. That there's people right now on social media that are persecuting the church and persecuting the cause of God. They're going to have an encounter with God, watch, through you. And it won't be you debating them. It will be you loving them. It will be you bringing prophetic words. It will be, watch, supernatural conversions, not convincing people they're wrong. One encounter with God changes everything. I remember years ago, I was ministering on the topic of homosexuality and same-sex attractions. And one gay pastor, he identified as a gay pastor. He messaged me on social media and he said, Landon, I appreciate your heart, but just don't try to change them. And I said, friend, an encounter with God changes everyone. It doesn't matter how you're born. It doesn't matter what you're tempted with. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. Listen, an encounter with Jesus changes everyone. It's important that you know sound doctrine, that Jesus came and died and saved you, watch, from your sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's so important that you understand. Watch. Sin is why Jesus died. Because there's growing movement trying to talk people out of their sin that it's not sin. So what we want to do is we want to call nothing sin so nobody feels bad about themselves and that we all can be lukewarm together. And that's the Christians, lukewarm Christians' favorite verse to partially quote is, don't judge me. Well, let me pastor you. We're not supposed to judge those outside the church. But we are supposed to be iron that sharpens iron inside the church. Now watch. To say you are sleeping with someone that's not your spouse and that is sin, you are committing adultery. It's wicked. It's evil in the eyes of the Lord. And Jesus died to save you for that sin. Watch. Is not judging them. It's saving them. Now, if I went across the street and said, you're an ugly, awful, dirty, rotten person and you're going to hell, that would be judgment. But to tell another brother, this is what the Bible says. To tell another sister, this is what the Bible says. That is not judgment. Watch. We need to go through a process once we encounter God of the creating of the new creation. Give you some scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone, someone say anyone. Say it a little louder. Anyone
I don't care what you struggle with. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've given into. I don't care what you participated in. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Now, whoa. Most people stop there. No, we don't stop there. We start there. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you start there. Come on, we got to stop partially. You know what? Because we only read scripture on social media, we just partially read it. Keep reading the scripture. What does it say? The old has passed away and the new has come. Ephesians 4:23 says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, to put on the new self. Someone say new self. Colossians 3:10, you have put on the new self, say new self, which is being renewed, say renewed, and the knowledge after the image of the Creator. This is so important. After a God encounter, supernatural personal growth comes, watch, through the process of the new creation.
So here's the question. How do you really supernaturally grow? It's so easy. You supernaturally grow through intimacy with the Holy Spirit.
So if you ignore, resist, or avoid the Holy Spirit, you don't grow supernaturally. You only grow naturally. And that's why so many people take so long to spiritually grow. Because they try to do it on their own. You could get as many self-help books as you want. You could listen to many podcasts. You could do as much as you can to better you. And it will all be in the natural. Supernatural growth, watch, only comes through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Let me teach you. So last week I talked about the word supernatural in the Hebrew comes from the word doxa, which we get the definition glory. The supernatural is the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled faces, behold, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. Say transformed. And to the same image of from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is spirit. Say spirit. Let me read this in the King James. The King James says that we are changing into the same image, watch, from glory to glory. So as we understand glory, we are talking about the nature of God. We are talking about the tangible presence of God. So we first see this in the garden with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve are naked in the garden and they do not need to be clothed because they are clothed with the glory or the presence of God. Has anyone seen those antique old pictures of Adam and Eve with the halos around their bodies and they're naked, but they got halos around their bodies, okay? They're trying to depict the glory of God. Watch, they spent so much time in the presence of God, it clothed them. This is the very thing that happened to Moses. Watch, Exodus 34. This is the first covenant, or this is the old covenant as it's known. Exodus 34, verse 5. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. I just want to stop for a second. Did you hear what that just said? God came down in a cloud and stood with Moses. Just like he did Adam and Eve. In his glory for 40 days. This is where he writes the Ten Commandments, God himself with his finger on tablets. Listen, he stood in the glory of God. We see a depiction of this when Jesus is transfigured on the mountain and removes his humanity and shows his divinity where the brightness is shown all around him. And this is actually where we get the mercy culture name. Because in Exodus 33, Moses said, who are you, Lord? Teach me your ways that I may know you and find your favor. It's our benediction. And God responds to Moses' question in Exodus 34, where he stood with him and said, I am the Lord, merciful. He goes on to commune with them for 40 days. Look at verse 29. says, when Moses came down the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony, the Ten Commandments, in his hand, he came down from the mountain. Look at this. Moses did not know that his skin, his face shone because he had been talking with God. Moses did not know that his face had been radiating from meeting with God. Everybody noticed that Moses was shining, but Moses. Later it goes on to say that he began to take a blanket, a cloth, and he put it over his head because his face was glowing so bright, he put it over his head. Some theologians believe it was because his great humility. Personally, I believe he did it to show the people of God what they spiritually look like. Walking around covering themselves, that there is some barrier between you and the presence of God. Watch, everybody saw Moses' face shining, but here's the thing, is their face wasn't shining just because his was shining. This is important, because you cannot reflect somebody else's God encounter. It's why it doesn't matter how many YouTube videos you watch of people with healing signs and wonders until it is your own journey of obedience, humility, process, submission, repentance, until you go on your own journey with your own authority. Listen, you will just be a parrot mimicking other people's words. I'm reminded of the seven sons of Sceva that said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul encountered, come out. And he was beat up because he had no authority. You have to have your own God encounter to reflect him. Man, there's something about it. I was talking with a young man yesterday who was telling me what God was doing in his life. And all of a sudden I hear revelation and rhema coming out of him. I said, you know what you're doing, what's going on right now? I said, you're in the process of a message. But before you ever preach this message, you live it. How come there'll be one person's post or one person says something on TikTok and there is no power? And then someone else says the same thing and the glory of God falls. What's the difference? One's been reflecting him. One's been with him. One's been in the presence. One's been communing. One's been daily encountering. Y'all, this is why the vision of this church is from corporate encounters to daily personal encounters. It's because Sunday is not enough. It won't sustain you. Watch, you will not glow on Friday. If Pastor Jasmine just leads worship for you on Sunday. It's daily. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's daily, it's daily, it's daily. Here's the thing. He would go into the presence of God, watch, and he would behold him. 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says, now we seem a dim reflection as in a mirror, but we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I believe that we're coming into a season where we will no longer see the glory of God dimly, as in a mirror, but we will see the glory fully. Now I'm watching because I'm talking about supernatural growth. Hear your neighbor say, we're talking about supernatural growth. Supernatural personal growth. Watch, watch. So how do you supernaturally personally grow? You ready for it? You get into his presence every day. There's no end. You get in his presence and you talk to him. What do I talk to about? Doesn't matter. What I pray about? Almost doesn't matter. You get in his presence, watch, and you be with him. Watch, and scripture says from glory to glory. Watch, every day is a new dimension of glory. Ah. That's why it's so important. Even if you say, I don't feel anything, it's okay to not feel anything. You're still reflecting something. You're still coming into his presence, and here's something is changing inside you. Watch, Moses didn't see it. It's okay if you don't see it.
It's okay if you don't feel it. What matters is that you do it, because that glory to glory, watch, we are becoming the same image that we behold. You come in the presence of God, you spend time with Him, you behold Him, watch, and then things slowly and then supernaturally begin to change. Genesis 30 is our story. Talking about Jacob this morning. Last week, if you were here or listening to the message online, we talked about Joseph. Joseph was the son to Jacob, a portion of our text this week. Joseph was the dream of Jacob. If you're unfamiliar with the story, Jacob, Abraham gave birth to Isaac. His son brought him to the mountain of the Lord, almost sacrificed him. Didn't have to. God spared him. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob was known as the deceiver. He deceived his brother Esau. He had to run for his life because he deceived him and stole his birthright. When he ran away from him, he ended up with a family member named Laban. And then the deceiver became the deceived. Jacob fell in love with a beautiful girl named Rachel. It was the beautiful daughter of Laban. But his father-in-law said, "You have to work for me for 7 years and then I'll give it to you." It's a little longer than today's online romances. 7 years he worked for her. And then on the wedding night, he went into the wedding tent and he found out the one that he was given was not the one he worked 7 years for, but it was her sister. This just turned into a reality show. So he goes back to his father-in-law and said, "You deceived me." He said, "Takes one to know one." He said, "You have to work another 7 years." So now he works 14 years, watch, just to be with the one his heart desired. So now when you talk about how much he loved his son Joseph came from Rachel. This was his one. This was his true love. And so it brings context to why he loved him so much and gave him the coat of many colors. So after he works 14 years for Rachel, then he works another few years, up to 20 years total for land and cattle, paying off the rest of his debt. And he's in this place of transition. Now watch, Jacob had not yet wrestled with Jesus or wrestled with the angel, which was Jesus, wrestling out of him, Jacob. He had not yet been delivered from his deceitful ways. He hadn't yet been in the presence with God and touched and changed forever. He was still in process. So watch, this is powerful. The moment he gives birth to Joseph, he's ready to go into his destiny. Because when you steward prophetic words properly, it ushers you into next seasons. So he goes to his father-in-law and says, "The only thing I want is all of the spotted and speckled, all of the striped sheep and goats. That's all I want." He said, "And in the future, if I ever have any that are solid colors, you know I stole them from you. That's all I want." So the father-in-law said, "Deal." That very day, he took all the spotted and speckled sheep and goats out of his herds, gave them to his sons, and sent them a three-day journey away and stole from him once again. Has anyone ever been stolen from? Has anyone ever been manipulated? Has anyone ever been betrayed? Has anyone ever taken advantage of? Listen, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. The Lord told me this week, you can't steal from me. You could try, you can't. You could try with your tithe, you can't. You can try with other things, but you can't. You cannot steal from God. Watch, when there's an anointing of God on you, it doesn't matter what other people's behavior does. I feel this in my spirit. Your inheritance cannot be stolen. When you understand supernatural spiritual growth, everything he asked for, everything he was promised, was taken from him. He has nothing. He was lied to again. He was taken advantage of again. And he has nothing.
Except favor. I'm telling you, nothing in the favor of God is all you need. I'm talking about throw the nets to the other side. I'm talking about go fish and there's a coin mouth. I'm talking about speak to the rock and water pours forth. I'm talking about manna comes, quail comes. I'm talking about every single one of your needs. Go get empty jars and pour oil in them. The only thing that you need is the favor of God. You can't be cheated when you have the favor of God. You can't be taken advantage of when you have the favor of God. You only need the favor of God. Watch. So he takes all of the sheep, the strong ones. And when they go to breed, look what the scripture says. He takes the sheep. Verse 30, chapter 37. He took six of poplar and almond plane trees, and he peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white on the sticks. Verse 38. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks, in the troughs that was the watering places where the flocks came to drink. Watch. And since they had bread, they came to drink the flock's bread in front of the sticks. So the flocks brought forth striped and speckled and spotted. Now it's talking about sheep, but sheep are very symbolic in the Word of God. They're used over 500 times. And in the Old Testament, they're usually referred to literally, but in the New Testament, they're spoken to metaphorically. John 10, 27, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, or my sheep know me, they know my voice. So look at verse 39 again, from a spiritual lens. It says in Genesis 30, 39, and the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped and speckled and spotted sheep and goats. Make sure everybody understands what we're talking about. Non-striped, non-spotted sheep and goats would come to the watering trough. And inside the watering trough, he took branches and shaved them to make them different colors. So when you took off the darker top part of the bark, you would see the lighter inside color. And he would do this in front of, and he would take these and he would put it in the watering trough and he put it in front of the sheep and the goats. And when they would breed, they would give birth to spotted and speckled sheep. Watch. Because what you behold, you give birth to. Let me ask you this question. What if you gave birth to, or what if you produced the fruit of everything you beheld? Or maybe we are. What if you gave birth to everything you saw in that Netflix series? What if you gave birth to and you wondered where those lustful temptations were coming from? You've been beholding it. What if you beheld that comparison through social media and scrolling through, comparing yourself to everyone and everything, and it was beholding, or it was producing that comparison in you? What if the news that you're watching that's full of fear and doubt is producing inside you fear and doubt, and you wonder, where's this coming from? Why is this always coming out of me? Why am I always engage with this? It's because you're beholding it. Or what if you're in his presence every day? Hold on. Beholding him. Seeing new sides of him, encountering him, hearing from him, reading his word every day, worshiping with him every day. What if you were with him every single day? And when you were with him every single day, you started giving birth to new things. I love God's word. Worship team, come and join me. It says this, the sheep bred in front of the troughs. Hear this. the sheep bred by the water. Scripture says, before the earth was formed, the Holy Spirit was hovering. The Holy Spirit is the place of intimacy. Hear this. They gave birth. They were intimate where they drank from. They gave birth, they bred, they were intimate where there was the water. The Holy Spirit is the place that you will be intimate with God. That is the place where you supernaturally grow. The Holy Spirit is how you supernaturally grow. Encountering Him, entertaining Him, abiding in Him, dwelling in Him, beholding Him. There is no supernatural growth outside relationship with the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing, when your eyes are on the Holy Spirit, they're never on the natural. Ah, I feel it so strong. We're in a season right now where you can give birth to the things of the natural, or you can give birth to things of the Spirit. There's an invitation of intimacy. There's an invitation to encounter His glory. There's an invitation to go from glory to glory. There's an invitation to never get bored or mundane in His presence. There's an invitation to give birth to spiritual things. Would you just posture your hearts to receive all over this place? This is a year of supernatural growth. This is the year of supernatural spiritual growth. This is a year to outgrow the enemy's lies. This is a year to encounter deliverance that you never knew was possible. This was a year to go from glory to glory, from freedom to freedom. This is a year to be whole. This is a year to be healed. This is a year to be set free. This is a year to be delivered. This is a year to be on the other side of offense. This is a year of breakthrough. This is a year of supernatural spiritual growth.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.